Good morning, everyone. Mm-hmm. Now, back when I was single, Valentine's Day was one of my least favorite days of the year. For in my teens and early 20s, I celebrated many a Valentine's Day at home, all alone, feeling lesser than everyone who had a special someone. And unfortunately, Valentine's Day is not the only day when singles can be tempted to feel lesser. Think about how many movies we've seen with the message that life is all about finding your one true love. I mean, as early as our preschool years, Disney is already indoctrinating us with the message that life only begins when we get married, and only then can we start to live our happily ever after. And if that's not bad enough, sometimes us married people in the church can make things worse. I think us married folks want to be helpful, but sometimes we are not. Like when we get a little too focused on playing matchmaker for our single friend. Or when an unbiblical comment slips out of our mouths. Maybe something like, you know, you can't really be a mature Christian until you've been married for some years. Or when we share only about the blessings of our marriage and neglect to share about the struggles, giving the mistaken impression that marriage is a consistently great circumstance. So on behalf of the married Christians here, please accept my apology for the times when our attempts to help have actually hurt. Now I hope this morning will be helpful to my single brothers and sisters as we continue our Building Faith at Home sermon series. This year our series focuses on having a biblical vision for our homes. Pastor Dave started the series by covering a subject that can really hinder us from living out a biblical vision, pornography. And then last week we talked about a biblical vision for marriage. If you missed that message, you can check it out as well as all of our previous messages on the church website, which is nwchurch.org. I think you'll find something in it that would be helpful for your marriage. And this morning we will consider the question, what is a biblical vision for singles? So if you've got a Bible, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7. In 1 Corinthians 7, we will see the good gifts that God has given to single Christians. And if you're not single, I hope that you'll stick with us this morning. For you may see something from God's word that equips you to speak life to a struggling single friend. Or you may be able to avoid the unhelpful sort of comments that I mentioned earlier. And if you have kids, seeing God's vision for singleness will help you to encourage them to have a godly perspective on their singleness. Further, we will see this morning that God's word is so profound that it even speaks to the married, even in a passage that is addressing singles. And finally, not to be a Debbie Downer or anything here on Valentine's Day, but all of us who are married may be single again one day. And it is good to get equipping from God's word for that possibility. Now before we jump into 1 Corinthians 7, let me share a little bit about 1 Corinthians. The letter is written to Christians in the sinful city of Corinth. The church there struggled with immorality and divisions. And so the author Paul, who was single himself, wrote this letter to encourage the Corinthian Christians to holiness and address some issues that they had questions about, including around the subject of singleness and marriage. And in 1 Corinthians 7, chapter 7, the first thing we're going to see is that being a single Christian means that God has given you a good gift. Please follow along with me as I read from 1 Corinthians 7, starting in verse 7. I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and the widows I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried, as I do. Look back at verse 7. Here Paul states that he wishes every believer was single, as he is. But then he goes on to say that each believer has their own gift from God. But notice here that Paul says that each has a gift from God, both marrieds and singles. Then in verse 8, Paul again states that it is good for the unmarried to stay single. If you're single, have you ever viewed your singleness as a gift from God? That it might even be better than being married? Now, I certainly didn't have this perspective back when I was single. But God's word invites us here to consider singleness a gift. Even if you long to be married someday, you can view your current state as a gift from God. So how is singleness a gift? Well, let's jump down to verse 25, where Paul begins to answer this question. And we're going to see there that being single is a gift because it is easier to share God's perspective. Please follow along with me in your Bibles, starting in verse 25. Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you pledged to a woman? Do not seek to be released. Are you free from such commitments? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. What a, see some laughter from the marrieds in the audience? Okay. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if it was not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. In these verses, Paul makes it clear that Christians are free to stay single or to seek to be married. As verse 28 says, if you marry, you have not sinned. However, Paul also notes in verse 28 that married people face challenges that single Christians do not. And if you doubt that, note the laughter when I mention that. Look now at verse 29. Here Paul begins to explain one of those challenges by reminding us that the time is short. Jesus has already come and died for our sins and risen from the dead. The key to all of history has already happened, and Jesus could return at any time. And so all of us should have a sense of urgency in serving Jesus. We don't know when he'll return, when there'll be no more time to lead people to Jesus, to disciple others, to earn eternal rewards. And it's so easy for the married to get so focused on one's spouse and one's kids and the life you're trying to build together that you lose sight of the fact that the time is short. That's why Paul says in verse 29 that there's a sense in which those who are married should live as if they are not, to make sure that your focus is not so temporary that you forget about the more important eternal perspective. First, Paul reminds us at the end of verse 31, the world in its present form is passing away. Everything here is temporary, even our spouse and kids. And as a single person, you are freed from many distractions that come from marriage, one of which is the greater temptation to place all of your focus on the temporary. My single brothers and sisters, you have the gift of more easily sharing the most important perspective, God's. Now, the next gift of singlehood relates to the first. Being single is also a gift because it is easier to live for what matters the most. Please follow along with me as I read, starting in verse 32. I would like for you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I'm saying this to you for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in the right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Look back at verse 32. Paul notes that single believers are free to focus on pleasing Jesus, sharing his concerns. While, as verses 33 and 34 show us, the married person must also think about pleasing their spouse, and so their interests are more divided. Look now at verse 35. I think it is very important for us to notice the hearts behind what Paul says here in this passage. He is not looking to restrict single people or legislate his preference for them. Nor does Paul want to raise up a group of emotional martyrs who begrudgingly stay single because they feel a burdensome obligation to serve God. Rather, as Paul says in verse 35, I am saying this to you singles for your own good. As your single brother in the Lord, Paul invites every single believer to join him in enjoying the rich blessings that can come with undivided devotion to Jesus. Now, single Christians will at times miss out on some things, But nevertheless, we see that singlehood is a good gift from God because it helps you to avoid missing out on what matters the most. And this view of singlehood as a gift is not coming from this married guy up here who doesn't understand your concerns or struggles. No, this message comes from the Apostle Paul, who lived this reality as a single man. And most importantly, this message is true because it comes from the very word of God. For single believers, undistracted by marriage, can have the greater focus on the most important thing, the great commandment, loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you're married, it is so easy to make family the focus of life. When things are great with your spouse, it's easy to be tempted to have less hunger for our ultimate spouse, Jesus. And if you have kids, it's so easy to place your deepest hopes in how they turn out, rather than placing your deepest hopes in God's kingdom. And even when marriage struggles greatly, family can still be our main focus, as we spend all of our time and energy trying to make our marriage work, or as we experience overwhelming pain that distracts us from loving and serving God. And without these kind of concerns and temptations, a single Christian can more easily focus on relationship with God. And if a single person longs for a spouse or kids, God can even use that longing to encourage them towards a deeper relationship with Him. With less distractions and with greater longing, the single person, the single believer, is free to really seek after the deep things of God. And this priority of relationship with God is so important that Paul considered being single preferable to marriage. Now, I know that some, both inside and outside the church, don't necessarily consider intimacy with God all that important. Perhaps you've heard someone express this by saying something like, "Yeah, I believe in God and I pray and go to church every once in a while, but what really matters at the end of the day is that I'm a good person that helps other people." I recently heard another pastor address this perspective by inviting you to imagine a single mom with one son. She works herself to the bone to raise him right and give him a better future. Between the money she scrapes together over the years working extra shifts and the scholarship she helps him to get, he is able to go to college. When he's leaving for college, she tells him to take his education and use it to be a good man who works hard to help others. And so the son goes off to college, he studies hard, he graduates, he gets a good job, and from there over the years he builds a career and a life where he tells the truth, he works hard, he helps others, just like his mom wanted. But he never calls his mom. He never goes to see her. Some years he doesn't even bother to send her a Christmas card. Is that okay? I mean, after all, the son is living the kind of life that his mom wants him to live. Well, of course not. It is wrong and offensive for the son to have so little concern for his mom. His mom gave him everything, and so the son owes his mom a relationship. And if that son owes his mom a relationship, how much more do we owe God, who gave us absolutely everything we have, a relationship? Living a good life is not an adequate substitute. Relationship with God is absolutely essential. Not only do you owe it to God, but He designed us for relationship with Him. And so we will not really flourish unless we seek after Him. And as a single believer, you have the gift of less distractions and hindrances keeping you from seeking intimacy with God. More opportunity to delve into the riches of His Word, to enjoy intimacy with Him in prayer. Following in the way of our single Savior, you can live a beautiful life as a single person who enjoys a rich, deep communion with God. He is so glorious and so awesome and loves us so very much. He paid everything so that He could love you, literally dying to love you. And not only do you get to enjoy as a single person greater opportunity for intimacy with the Lord, but singles also have greater freedom to seek opportunity for intimacy with Christ's church. For Jesus died not only so that we could enjoy intimacy with Him, but so that we could enjoy intimacy with each other. In the New Testament, we see the church described as a body. And like the parts of a body, we can enjoy unity and be blessed by the blessings that come from the differing gifts that we all possess. And we, the church, are also described as a family, that we are brothers and sisters who can bear each other's burdens, cheer each other on, and deeply know one another in love. And single believers can more easily enjoy the blessings that come from relationship with Christ's church. As a married man, there are more limitations on how I can serve and get to know my sisters in Christ. And there are more limitations as well in the ways that they can bless me. And even my friendships with men can be somewhat limited by having a wife and kids. Not only do I have less time for friends because of responsibilities at home, but I must consider how it impacts my family before sharing deep things about family life. Further, my responsibilities and time at home also hinder my opportunities to serve all of my Christian brothers and sisters here. As a single believer, you enjoy more freedom to express the inclusive nature of God's love, more opportunities to seek intimacy with God's people. And God has provided us with the church so that every believer can experience healthy relationships with both genders. If biological brothers and sisters can bless one another, how much more so can spiritual brothers and sisters? In love, we can build one another up as we enjoy the blessings that come from being in community with the other gender. Now, I've been married for some years, but not so long that I've forgotten the relational and sexual challenges that one faces as a single Christian. So I'm not suggesting this is easy, but I am suggesting that when single brothers and sisters come together as a loving community that exercises self-control, it is a beautiful thing. As you and your single brothers and sisters all refuse to indulge in your sexual desires in a sinful manner, your actions say to one another, "You are very precious to me. Too important for me to try to do something wrong with you. I love you enough to endure hardship on your account." And so all receive dignity from the godly way that all are treated. And as everyone endures the challenges of unfulfilled desires for the sake of God and His people, all become internally stronger in the process, more empowered to love. It's not easy, but this kind of biblical community is a beautiful thing that is worth pursuing. And by the way, it is also beautiful when single and married Christians enjoy life-giving relationships with one another. As the body of Christ, we have all been given gifts by the Spirit that can build one another up in the faith. However, if singles stick only with the singles, and if marrieds stick only with the marrieds, our body here at Northwest will miss out. For the life of the church is enriched when single and married believers are in the kinds of relationships that allow us both to benefit from the ways that God's Spirit is at work in each of us. Now, the third way that singles can are freer to focus on what matters most is in your greater freedom to engage with God's mission. Generally speaking, single believers have more flexibility and opportunity with which to meet needs in Jesus' name, both locally and globally. More opportunities to help the poor, to share the gospel and make disciples, to develop one's spiritual gifts. In short, to invest in things that will outlive this world. And if you are single and long to parent, as you continue to pray for a spouse and kids, please know that our church could really use more spiritual mothers and fathers. There are so many kids in this church and community in need of your love and your wisdom. There are so many kids and young adults who need discipleship and prayer. There are so many who come from tough family situations and long to experience spiritual mothering or fathering, even some people my age. So I hope you take much better advantage of the gifts that come with singleness than I did. I wasted so much time and energy on unimportant things. I missed out on many opportunities to deepen my relationship with God, to enjoy rich relationships with God's people, and to involve myself with the greatest mission of all time. And when you don't do those things, you're missing out on some blessings of marriage. And when you fail to take advantage of the blessings of singleness, then you're missing out both ways. And so my encouragement for my single brothers and sisters this morning is to enjoy your gift from God. Jesus came and lived the most glorious life of all time as a single person. And he paved the way for singlehood to be a true gift. Paul, the great apostle of the Gentiles, lived this reality. That our ultimate identity is not found in our marital status, but in Jesus. That our ultimate hope is not in a fulfilling marriage or good kids, but in Christ's coming kingdom. So one perk to being married to a photographer is that I have some great pictures of my wife and my kids. And I enjoy looking at those pictures, but I would never center my life around them. Imagine if I made my life all about my pictures. You know, when I get home at night, rather than eating with my wife and kids, just hold myself in a room by myself and look at pictures of my wife and kids. Now, that obviously would be utterly ridiculous. The pictures are nice, but they point to something far more significant, my actual wife and kids. And as we learned last week, marriage is a good gift, but it points to something far, far more significant, our intimacy together with Jesus as the bride of Christ. And as we've seen this morning, that's why Paul can suggest that it could even be better to be single than to be married, because you are free to focus on what matters most. And what matters most is not a marriage. I've shared this quote from Pastor Kevin DeYoung once before, but I believe it bears repeating. He says, "In the Christian vision of heaven, there is no marriage in the blessed life to come. Marital intimacy is but a shadow of a brighter, more glorious reality, the marriage of Jesus Christ to his bride, the church. If sexual intimacy is nothing up there, how can we make it everything down here?" The Bible does start with the call to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and that call still applies for some of us. But the most important calls, the greatest commandments, the Great Commission, can not only be done by singles, but as this passage has shown, can be done more easily by single believers. And so my single brothers and sisters, please know that you don't need a marriage to fulfill God's design or to reflect God's image. My single brothers and sisters, your life is not in a metaphorical holding pattern, waiting to get married so that you can land the plane of your life and start living it. Jesus has things that he wants to do in and through you this week, this year. What you have to give is so important to God's kingdom. You don't have to wait around until romantic love comes your way. You can reach out today in love. You don't need to wait for an engagement. You are free to engage in what matters the most. Earlier in the passage, we learned that being a single Christian is a gift from God. It's interesting that the word gift here is the same word that Paul will use later on in 1 Corinthians to describe our spiritual gifts. In both cases, with the gift of singleness and with our spiritual gifts, God blesses us with something so that we can bless others. So that we can be a gift to them, building them up. And I am so thankful that we have godly singles in our midst who are using their gifts to be a gift, blessing this church family and a dying world with the love of Jesus in so many ways. Single Christians pursuing the full potential of all that God has called you to be. This morning, we've seen that if you're a single Christian, God has given you a good gift. So enjoy your gift and be a gift to others. And at times, things will be hard. All of us, whether single or married, experience pain and struggle and unfulfilled longings as we live as broken people in a broken world. So as we close this morning, in addition to the truths we've shared from 1 Corinthians 7, I want to equip you with one more thing from God's Word that can help you in times of darkness. Turn back to chapter 3 with me of 1 Corinthians. As I noted earlier, the Corinthian church was pretty worldly, which included them dividing themselves into factions around different church leaders. Some in the church liked Paul best, and they formed a clique with other people in the church who preferred Paul. Others were forming cliques around their preferences for Apollos or for Cephas. So Paul instructs them to stop focusing on the human leaders by reminding them that we are all Christians, and because we are all believers of God, all of the leaders belong equally to all of God's people. And as Paul motivates the Corinthians to get their eyes off of specific human leaders and back onto God, he motivates them with an amazing statement. I invite you to look at verse 21 with me, where Paul says, "So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God." All things are yours. When you really long for a date, or a marriage, or a child, come back to what God's Word says and be encouraged. All things are yours. The world and life and death and the present and the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. Your Heavenly Father loves you and gives good gifts. He invites you to trust Him and seek the blessing that comes from intimacy with Him, His people, and His mission. And when things get difficult and you're tempted to despair, listen once again to what His Word says to you. God, in the darkness, God lovingly whispers to you, "All things are yours." So enjoy your gift today as you look forward to that time when you will step into the fullness of your inheritance. For all things are yours. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for loving us enough to send Jesus on a rescue mission for us. We thank you that, Jesus, you lived the perfect life as a single man, and that you have opened up a path of blessing for all of us to know you and your people and to be actively engaged in your mission, Lord. So if there are any here who do not yet know you, we pray that by the work of the Spirit, they would see what Jesus has done on their, in their place, on their behalf, that they would trust that Christ has died for their sins and risen from the dead and is inviting them to life in him. And Lord, for those of us who are single here this morning, if struggling in any way, I pray that these truths would encourage them to fully seek the blessings that can come, to trust you and to seek to build your kingdom to your glory and to find the intimacy with you and your people that they truly need. For those of us who are married, I pray that you would help us to not become so focused on the temporary that we lose sight of the eternal. Jesus, we thank you so much that through your sacrifice on our behalf, you've given us such rich blessings to where we can hear from your word, all things are yours. And it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.